Today on Path of Grace.
Now, what is a saint? This is where it gets beautiful. This is why the gospel is such good news. The Greek word translated as saint is the word hagios. It means most holy thing. Not a sort of holy thing, not a kind of holy thing, and definitely not a dirty thing trying to clean itself up and make itself holy. No, that's not it at all. It means the most holy thing. It's a saint, the most holy thing. Now, this may sound weird, but my friend, in Christ, you are the most holy thing. You are a saint. When people hear that, the immediate response so often is, hold on, I don't feel like the most holy thing. When I look in the mirror, I don't think I see the most holy thing. I don't see a saint. I don't see anyone perfect. In fact, when I look close, I see a lot of pimples. I see a lot of blemishes. Man, I see those bald spots. I see that receding hairline. And you know what else? I know me. I'm not Mr. or Mrs. Spiritual. I make a lot of mistakes. I mess up. Every day I find myself thinking things that I'd rather not think, doing things that I thought I would never do again, saying things that I regret. How can it be that I would be called a saint? How could it be that I am the most holy thing when so much about me looks quite unholy? Not long ago, I was talking to a teenager, and at the very beginning of the conversation, I greeted them, and in response, they said, sup. Sup, one word. I'm assuming it's spelled S-U-P. They didn't say, what's up, or how you doing, or how's it going? They simply said, sup. Now, being a little bold, I guess, I asked them, I said, what does that mean? Exactly what are you asking with that three-letter word, sup? And they shared with me matter-of-factly that sup means, how are you doing? What's been going on? What's new with you? Are you doing all right? And if you need anything, please let me know. I'd be glad to help. That kind of blew my mind. All of that was being said in that one little three-letter word, sup. Now, after that conversation, I started thinking about how much can be said with one word, even in the course of a greeting. Sup. Today, we're going to jump into Paul's letter to the Philippians, and we're going to start out by looking at his greeting. In fact, more than likely, we're only going to make it through one verse today because there's more in this verse than you might imagine at first. Let's take a look at it. Philippians chapter 1, starting in verse 1, I'm reading from Young's Literal Translation. It says this, Paul and Timotheus, or Timothy, servants of Jesus Christ. Let's go ahead and pause right there. It was very common in Paul's letters for him to refer to himself as a servant of Jesus Christ. And a lot is said in that word, a servant of Jesus Christ, one who serves. He's serving the Lord by ministering to other people. Now, it's interesting, if you look at other translations of the scripture, you might in this verse find the word bond slave or bond servant rather than the word servant. Now, what's the difference in a bond slave or a bond servant, and why are the translations different? First of all, let's talk about the difference between a slave and a bond slave, or a servant and a bond servant. At the time that Paul wrote this letter, people could become slaves for all sorts of reasons. For instance, if you were captured in war, you would most likely become a slave. You would become the possession of your captors. And let's say your parents had been captured in war and you were born into slavery. You were born a slave. That was your lot. There were also instances where if a person owed debt, they had borrowed money, they couldn't pay it back, they would become a slave. They would, in effect, become the property of the person they were indebted to, until they paid off the debt. The person owned you until you worked off every last dime of that debt. Your time was going to be spent working off the debt. There was no getting out of it until the debt was paid in full. So you could be born into slavery, you could be taken into slavery as a captive during a time of war, or you could become a slave as a result of owing money. But then there's also another type of slavery, another type of servanthood, and that is a bond slave or a bond servant. And what makes a bond slave different is they are a person who willingly becomes a slave. Now, let's just say, for instance, you were a person who owed debt and you went into slavery because you could not pay that debt. And you worked for 5 years or 10 years until the debt was paid off. And you realized at that time when you could go free that life had actually been better for you as a slave in that master's home. Maybe you realized over the course of time that your master really was a good person and that they had taken better care of you than you had been able to take care of yourself in your time of freedom. And so you could choose to remain a slave of that master. You could go to your master and say, you know what? Life is better for me here. I would like to just remain here as your slave, even though I do not owe any more debt. I like the way you have taken care of me in this time of slavery. So I want to continue as your slave. That would be a bond slave. Now, traditionally, as a sign for people to see that this person was a willing servant, that they were a bond slave, a bond servant, the master would take that servant to the doorpost of his home and drive a nail through the person's ear, I guess kind of piercing it and attaching it to the doorpost. But don't worry, they didn't leave them there. Then they would pull that out and put an earring in their ear. And so the earring would be a sign that the person was a bond slave. They were the willing property of someone else. Now, some translations use the word bond slave. Some simply use the word slave or servant. Which is the right translation? Well, the literal translations simply use the word servant. Some of the other translations use the word bond slave or bond servant. And I'm not sure why. It could be that some of the translators couldn't stomach the idea of God kind of cornering someone and putting them into a position of servanthood. But think about Paul's life. How was it that he became a servant of the Lord or a minister of the gospel? Was it because he responded to an altar call after an emotional appeal? Or was it because Christ invaded Paul's life in a radical way and kind of cornered him? Read the book of Acts and see which might be the case. Anyway, Paul was a person who was a servant. He was one whose life was fully given over to serving the Lord. And he had a passion for reaching as many as possible with the evangel. So he was a servant. Perhaps you could call him a bond servant. I wouldn't get too hung up on this and in any arguments about what is the right translation. The point is, Paul was a servant, and he was going at it with all of his might to reach people with the evangel. Anyway, he goes on in the rest of verse 1, and this is some good stuff. He says, to all the saints in Christ Jesus who are in Philippi, with overseers and ministrants. Now, overseers and ministrants are servants among the believers. They are the servant leaders. They would be people who others would recognize as the go-to folks to get help when they needed help, when they had needs that they could go to these people and they would be taken care of. So they were special people with special ministries amongst the believers. Now, saints is a term that refers to all who are believers, all who are part of the body of Christ. And this word saints, it's one of my favorite words in Scripture. What you need to realize is that this word is not something that was ever intended to apply to only a select few who might be voted into sainthood. They're elected by a board and it's discussed whether or not they qualify to be called a saint. That's not what this is at all. And on top of that, a saint is not someone who others would necessarily look at and say, wow, they sure are saintly. They seem to be a cut above the rest of us. Oh my goodness, they are obviously more holy and more righteous than the rest of us. They are the saint. Nope. Again, that's not it at all. This word saint applies to anyone and everyone who is a believer. That's why Paul, in his letters, he would address them to the saints in a particular region. Now, what is a saint? This is where it gets beautiful. This is why the gospel is such good news. The Greek word translated as saint is the word hagios. It means most holy thing, not a sort of holy thing, not a kind of holy thing, and definitely not a dirty thing trying to clean itself up and make itself holy. No, that's not it at all. It means the most holy thing. That's a saint, the most holy thing. Now, this may sound weird, but my friend, in Christ, you are the most holy thing. You are a saint. Now, when people hear that, the immediate response so often is, hold on, I don't feel like the most holy thing. When I look in the mirror, I don't think I see the most holy thing. I don't see a saint. I don't see anyone perfect. In fact, when I look close, I see a lot of pimples. I see a lot of blemishes. Man, I see those bald spots. I see that receding hairline. And you know what else? I know me. I'm not Mr. or Mrs. Spiritual. I make a lot of mistakes. I mess up. Every day I find myself thinking things that I'd rather not think, doing things that I thought I would never do again, saying things that I regret. How can it be that I would be called a saint? How could it be that I am the most holy thing when so much about me looks quite unholy? Well, first of all, you've got to realize that when it comes to the things we think on a daily basis, the things we say, and the things we do that we wish we hadn't done, falling short of how we wish we could perform, my friend, that is all part of being human. Welcome to the family of humanity. That is the lot of all of us. We all mess up. We all make mistakes. We all fall short in so many ways, even when it comes to goals we set for ourselves. Think about the goals you may have set at some point for exercise or diet or whatever it is. Plug anything in there. Some goal you set. Have you ever fallen short of a goal? That's part of being human. We have expectations of ourselves that we fall short of. Others have expectations of us that we fall short of. We fall short constantly. What is the deal with that? Well, we are beings living in a time where, according to Scripture, all of creation has been subjected to vanity, subjected to frustration. Why? Well, rather than going into it right now, because it is a fairly big topic, let me give you a homework assignment. Because we talked about this, probably 7 or 8 months ago. On my website, jamesflanders.com, on the main page in the left column, if you scroll down, you will find a series of audios entitled The Problem of Evil. There's probably 5 or 6 audios in that series, each one maybe 15 or 20 minutes long. Give them a listen, and it will help you understand vanity, and it will help you understand why, as humanity, when we try and try to fix ourselves or to fix the world and make everything hunky-dory in this age that we live in, why we fall short in it, why it is vain, why our efforts just can't bring those things to pass that we love to see come to pass. It's an interesting study. Again, it's called The Problem of Evil. Give them a listen. Let me know what you think about it. Now, Paul, in his letter, shares with us some amazing truth about our standing with God. He talks about things like justification. Justification, what's that? It's a great word. It means being in the sight of God just as we ought to be, rather than being seen as we are. It's just as if I'd never sinned. To be justified, it's just as if I'd never sinned, just as if I'd never fallen short. I'm holy. I'm in a state of perfection in the eyes of God. Paul talks about the righteousness of God being imputed to us, being placed on our report card. And Paul talks about the fact that when it comes to us relating to God, being accepted by God, it's not about us measuring up based upon our effort, our performance, our works. Instead, it's all about relating to God based upon Christ Jesus, our Lord and our Savior. See, he is the focal point because it's about what he has done for us. It's about his works, not ours. It's about his performance, not ours. It's about his righteousness, not relating to God based upon our wrongness or lack of righteousness. No, it's about his righteousness, which has been freely given to us, placed on our account. And Paul tells us that not only are we wearing the righteousness of the Lord, but in Christ we have become the righteousness of God. Paul tells us that he who knew no sin became sin for us, that we would become the righteousness of God in him. Now think about that. Christ became our sin. We have become the righteousness of God. Our sin, all of our failures, it was dealt with 2,000 years ago on the cross, and Jesus said, it is finished. Christ became our sin. Our sin was nailed to the cross, that we would become the righteousness of God in him. Now, let me ask you, my friend, what could you do to become more righteous than God? Think about that. How righteous is God? God is absolutely righteous. So what could you do to make yourself more righteous than God? The answer is nothing. There is nothing and no one more righteous than God. Now think about this. If in Christ you are already the righteousness of God, what could you ever do to improve your standing in the eyes of God? The answer is nothing. And Paul tells us we need to learn to rest in that, to rest in this grace, because you are the righteousness of God in him. The righteousness of Christ Jesus has been imputed to you. It's been freely given to you. So when God looks at you, he does not see any wrongness. You might look in the mirror and see all sorts of wrongness, but you need to realize God sees you in all that is right about Jesus Christ. That righteousness has been imputed to you. If we could learn to rest in that, oh, how our lives would change. You are the most holy thing. You are a saint. Now, we need to address one another that way. I call people brother or sister, and I need to readjust my thinking again. I've done this in the past, and I drift off course. I need to readjust it again and start calling my friends saints. Start calling my family saints. You can call me a saint. I know it sounds weird to call me Saint James, but I am a saint. And my name is James. And whatever your name is, you are a saint. You're a saint. We need to remind one another of that. Now, something amazing about this word translated as saint, the word hagios, it's the same word used in Scripture. When angels are gathered around the throne of God and they are singing, "Holy, holy, holy, Lord God Almighty." It's the same word, hagios. They say, "Hagios, hagios, hagios, Lord God Almighty." They're saying, "The most holy, the most holy, the most holy Lord God Almighty." That same word that is saying to speak of the most holy, mighty God is a word used to describe who you are and who I am in Christ. It's not saying we are God, but we are the holiness of God. It's been placed on us. We are the most holy thing. You are the most holy, precious, and beautiful thing in the sight of God. In the eyes of our loving Father, you are hagios. You are holy. You are most holy. You are a saint. Is that good news or what? And it's all a matter of grace. It's not based upon a merit system. It's not based upon earning it. It's all a gift. It's what we have in Christ. Now, we've looked at one verse in Philippians chapter 1, just a couple phrases in Paul's greeting, and think about how much we've already gotten out of it. My friend, we're going to get a lot of good stuff out of this letter over the coming weeks and perhaps even months that we spend in it. Well, that's all the time I have for today. Like the Apostle Paul, who is a tent maker working on the side to fund his ministry work, I've got to get to my tent working. Well, I don't literally make tents, but I do work on the side to provide for my family in whatever way I can. Please pray with me that if it is the will of Father, that he would provide more time for me to produce these audios. And I'm hoping to be able to put together a print newsletter and do some other writing in the future. At least that's the stuff I want to do. But pray with me that if it is Father's will, that he would help me to know that it's his will for me to do those other things, and that he would provide the means for me to do those things. It's time consuming, and I need the time to be able to pour into that. So pray for me about that. And I want to thank you in advance for praying with me about this, that God would have his way, that he would show me his will, that it would be very evident what I need to be pouring my time into, and that he would meet the needs of my family in whatever way he sees fit. Thanks again for listening. Be blessed, you most holy saint. Be blessed.